Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. I have another song I'd like to sing. Turn to 29 in the theme songs. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you have thought about that this morning when you woke up, that maybe today is the day that Jesus would come again? You stand again for this song, What a Beautiful Day, number 29.
Oh, as I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ear, I can't help but keep a watch toward the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. Long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hand. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. All my earthly disappointments and my trials here below fade away when I remember His last word. He said He to Him, and I'm longing to look upon the face of my Lord. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children. Long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hand. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again.
See it. Christ is still coming. How often do you think of the coming of Christ? Do I actually believe that Jesus is coming again? Something that I've been taught from little on up, and probably most of you as well. We read it often in the Bible. Jesus is coming again. And if you are attending church this morning, you probably do believe that Christ is going to come again. But I guess one of the things I've been thinking about recently is, do we really believe this? Do I really believe that the trumpet could sound at any moment? I think the way we live our lives really has a lot to say about that. We tend to put that scenario or the possibility of Jesus coming back at, it's going to happen at a later date, sometime, long time off. We put it out of our minds a little bit, like the thought of death. Something way down the road, and we don't really want to think about it. Well, I do believe that as Christians, it should be an exciting thought. It really should not trouble us, aside from the thoughts of, are we really ready to meet Jesus? And if we are, what about all the other lost souls, oblivious to the imminence of Christ's return? Those should be concerning factors to us. I like to think about Christ's return sometimes on a beautiful morning on the way to work, or maybe when there's a beautiful sunset. The other week there was a very beautiful moon and some bright stars or planets kind of clustered together right at daybreak over the Skimmerhorns, and I think some of you, we talked about that already. I don't know if you, all of you caught that or not, but it was very beautiful, and it made me think of that song we just sang, What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again. Maybe hard circumstances and seemingly insurmountable obstacles make us think about the coming of the Lord too. But the fact is, we need to be thinking about it all the time. Through the good times, through the bad times, through the average times, every single day and moment. Otherwise, we may just be caught off guard and unprepared. Another reason I've been thinking about this of late has to do with the most recent predictions we've been hearing of Christ's return. I don't know if all of you caught that or not as well, but there was this belief among some that Jesus was going to return between September 23 and 24. And if you have any length of years to your life, this is nothing new to you. It's happened before. Countless people have been falsely predicting the return of Christ. And we will read about that false doctrine in some of the scriptures later. Well, we, like them, should be thinking about the return of Christ, but with the whole of the scriptures in mind. We should be searching for signs and aware of the possibility of it happening anytime. I do believe that we are in the end times. Even the disciples believe that Jesus could have returned back then. So it's these conflicting ideas that cause some people to doubt, just like these so-called Christians that predict that Jesus will come on a certain date. It causes so many to scoff. And if Christians are still waiting for Christ to return, some would say they've all said this and it never happens. What is it? Around 2,000 years since Jesus said he would return? He still tarries. Well, I believe in the truth of the scriptures. God's word settles it, and it can bring peace to our hearts. Jesus is coming again. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Some more words directly from Jesus, speaking to the disciples, but also speaking to us. John 14, verse 1 through 4, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I pray that this look into the coming Christ will challenge us and bring us peace and joy. It should stir some yearning for his return. I tried to do a bit of listening and reading in preparation for this sermon, and there are so many unknowns and, yes, even false doctrines in relation to this subject. I got sidetracked multiple times into some of the theories and so-called answers to the return of Christ, different perspectives and viewpoints. Studies into prophecy and all of that is good. Jesus himself said, look for the signs of his coming. But where are we finding the final proof to his coming? It should be directly from God's word. And through it all, the glory goes to God. It should not be about certain groups or certain men receiving glory for suggesting timelines, dates, and so on. A look into the coming of Christ should not trouble us. It should draw us. It really should. And if it troubles you, talk to God. Talk to someone who can help you prepare for the coming of Christ. Let me turn to Matthew 24. We could read all of chapter 24 and chapter 25, but I think we'll only read chapter 24. Chapter 25 contains two parables, the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. Both of those have to do with the coming of Christ. Then also the final judgment. It talks at the end of chapter 25. Each of those would probably produce a sermon respectively. So We will focus on Matthew 24 today. So read Matthew 24, verses 3 through 51. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Basically, I divided the rest of the sermon up into the signs of the times, and then the other part is, what are we doing about it? So first of all, what are the signs that Jesus is coming, and that it really could be at any time? We saw lots of signs here in Matthew 24. Deception. There's so many voices in the world today. So many voices, but just enough truth to make it sound right. Many will come saying, "I am Christ." Some have done that very boldly and blatantly over the years. But probably the greater danger for us is the deceptive voices, the voices that put just enough Christian in there to sound good. Wars and rumors of wars, it's another sign. Nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I'm not very old. I would say that when I was young, I did not hear nearly as much about wars and conflicts as we would today. Now, maybe that isn't fair because I'm an adult, and so, of course, I would pay more attention to that now than I was 10 or 12. But for interest's sake, I decided to look into it a little bit, and bear with me a little bit on accuracy, as it was quick searching. However, I think it proves a pretty good point. So what I gathered in the year 2000, that's when I would have been 12, there were 25 major armed conflicts. And then today there are, according to the Geneva Academy, more than 110, and others saying at least 150. And then if you go back to the year 1900, you're only at two. In the 1950s, a handful. In the 1980s, around 15. 1990 to 2000s, it's all about the same, 25 to 30. And kind of a gradual increase all the way to recent years. But what was really astounding to me was the difference between 2024 and 2025. 2024 had around 60, and 2025 now had at least doubled. Is this a sign of the end times? Most certainly. But is it the worst? We don't know that. But it says it right in the scriptures. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. I expect if the Lord tarries, it will only get worse. It is a sign that Christ said would happen. Tremendous conflict in the world today. And also talks about famines, pestilences, earthquakes. That has always been. But have you noticed the increased intensity of these things, the frequency of them? And the places that they happen, they are extraordinary and unprecedented. Is global warming a thing? We disagree with some of those views and scientists have on that. And we have the Bible to back it up. But we won't be able to slow the intensity of these prophesied things. Jesus said they will come. And rather than the things in the world getting better, they will be getting worse. These are the beginning of sorrows. Another thing that we in North America have been sheltered from in a big way is persecution. Christians are persecuted intensely across the earth. Even here in North America, things are changing. Tremendous pressures of evil to try and smother the influence of Christianity. Some even killed, yes. But the growing pressure and hatred towards Christianity is becoming more and more intense. Need we fear? No, God's grace is big enough. And proof, again, that Jesus is coming soon. We also take joy in suffering for Christ. Next point is so real for us today. We see it in societies and politics, and it's global. Conflict within families, within communities, governments, societies, and even within the so-called churches of God. Offended, betrayed, hatred. Those words sound all too familiar. It's all about individual rights. Everyone has rights and freedom of speech. Today a friend and tomorrow an enemy. We see the extremes around us, but what about we ourselves? Is it rubbing off on us? Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later. Another one, false prophets. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 also says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." One of the first points we looked at was deception. Deception can happen to us on its own, but we are looking more specifically at this point at false prophets, people that have a following and leading people directly into hell. What about those false predictions of Christ's return? Some very obvious to us again, but what about all the voices, yeah, say on YouTube and other platforms that call themselves prophets or preachers? False prophets everywhere. Again, maybe they will tell us some truth, but still discrediting the holy word of God. False prophets saying when Christ will return. One of those verses we just read, it says, "The day nor the hour knoweth no man. Not even the angels of heaven know. Only the Father knows." Another sign of Christ's return are the cold hearts and the total obliviousness to what is going on around them. Jesus likened it to the days before the flood, eating, drinking, marrying, and living life to the fullest, or so it seems. How aware are we to the realities of life? Do we see a seriousness about it and consider our walk? Again, it's easier to look around and see the worst and consider ourselves okay, but there are so many people going through life unaware of their surroundings, literally. The fast-paced life of media, phone, AI, movies and games, all those things that can place minds in other places, oblivious to reality in life. I think these are all signs that the time for Jesus to come again is getting very close. It is imminent. Do you believe that the return of Christ is imminent? That it means that it could happen at any moment. James 5, verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And verse 44, chapter 24 again, such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And it compares it to how a thief springs on us unexpectedly. We need to be watching and ready. Philippians 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I believe Jesus is coming again. It could be any moment, but what am I doing about it? Am I prepared for the coming of Christ? So there's our next point to look at. More than ever, as we look around, we can see proof of the scriptures. Jesus is coming again. And these signs that he is talking about are happening right before our eyes. I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 now for a scripture base for this part of the message. 1 Thessalonians 5, if I can find it here. First Thessalonians 5, and we'll read the whole chapter as well. But of that times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. plenty of truth in these verses of what we should be doing as we consider Jesus' return. Just like the Thessalonians here, I don't think there is any question in our minds that Jesus is coming again. The weightier matter is, are we ready? How does it find us at the moment? Are we awake or asleep? First of all, readiness. Nothing should surprise us. Every day and every moment is in the hand of God. We trust in God and not in the earthly, changeable, and all those volatile things. We find our peace and safety in Christ. We are aware of the Scriptures, what the Scripture says. If things happen and we wonder about it, we search the Scriptures. As we await the return of Christ, we identify with the light of truth. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That light in Christ brings clarity, and all the turmoil around us should not trouble us. It should be confirmation of the truths of God's Word. Therefore, let us not sleep. Maybe we are walking in the light, but getting a little sleepy. We forget to watch, and we get a little carried away with life, with the busy things of life. But we must not lose focus. There are many seemingly harmless things, but if we lose focus, we become drunken and darkened. It talks about that in these verses. It tells us to put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. In our Christian walk, sometimes we forget that what we experience is a priceless gift from God. It's not our good works and good deeds that suddenly buy us that experience. We need to keep on in the faith and love of God. Keep on in the grace and hope of salvation. And I love how the rest of this passage is so practical. What we do as we live in the end time. What do we do as we live in the end times? We comfort and edify one another. It's very important because the Bible says that there will be a falling away. The falling away means it is affecting the members of the body of Christ. It talks about it in the verses we read in Matthew, and then again here in 1 Thessalonians. Well, it talks about it here, but 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. We are in the end times. Are we doubling down in our efforts towards one another? We can't do it alone. We need to build each other up. We need to be there for those who labor among us. Could it be that the laborers, the servants among us, are facing harder blows and harder things? Things that are to be expected because it is the end times. God is calling us to step up, love and support, be at peace among ourselves. Signs of the times may threaten peace and unity, but God's grace will always be there for the sincere seekers of Him. God will always help His people to build church, and God's church will always shine out in the darkness. Verses 13 and 14 tells us to exhort, warn, comfort, and support. This speaks of love and compassion to those around us, wanting what is best for them, seeking the good of others, patience, especially within our brotherhood, but also towards all men. Towards all men is very important because how can we have the love of God without it being universal, just as His love is universal. Rejoice evermore. We heard about this the other Sunday in regards to whether we are trapped or enabled. The work of God within us should be empowering and shining from our lives, so much to rejoice about. Jesus is coming again. Pray without ceasing. This is another subject that I feel like I've only scratched the surface on, the power of prayer. But more importantly, how paramount it is for a victorious Christian life without ceasing. We can't just choose certain times that we need God. We need Him always, and this shows by the sincerity and attitude of dependence in our prayers. Verse 25 says, brethren, pray for us. Leaders need prayers. Leaders need prayers more than ever, too. We all need prayers. A thankful heart has a whole lot to do with this as well. Dependence and appreciation for what Christ has done and is doing for us. Quench not the Spirit. More than ever, we need to heed the voice of the Spirit. And I said more than ever, and I'm not sure that is the best way to put it, because we can never ignore the voice of the Spirit, even when the pressures are less. But we mentioned earlier the tremendous pressures and the many voices of the end times. We must keep our sensitivity to the spirit on high alert, a sensitivity to the right spirit. There are many voices saying they are the voice of truth. Despise not prophesying. I had to think about this a little bit and maybe chuckle, because some brothers seem to have very little to say about prophecy and others seem to have a whole lot to say and have a fairly good understanding of it. I enjoy prophecy, but I think I probably err on the side of we'll let God sort it out and we'll understand it in his time. It is in fact speaking about prophecy here, I believe, but not in its entirety. It is speaking about the word of God. However, I think we need to take that prophecy part literally, though, as well as the word of God as a whole. Everything in the word of God is there for a reason, and we ought to be becoming familiar with the word of God. Prepare us for the coming of Christ. Take the word of God seriously. Despise not prophesying. Look for those signs of his return. Also talks about prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Do we know why we do the things we do? Quite likely, with being part of a Bible-believing church, there are things that we do that are very important. It should be, rightly so. But maybe we hardly think twice about what we do, and maybe don't even know why we do them. On the other hand, and hopefully not as likely, there are things we might do that we've always done, and it could cause some to say, why does a believer do this? Why does a believer in Christ do that? Prove all things. The scriptures must be our guide. Make practical application and hold fast to them. Don't let the good things go. Abstain from all appearance of evil. As we strive to live holy lives in these end times, God will be there for us. He will be there for us until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we surrender to God, even in the end times, God's grace is greater. We saw from the scriptures that Jesus is coming, and we also saw many truths about what followers of Jesus ought to be doing as we wait for Christ's return. So the big question is, are you ready? Am I ready? What are my worst and weakest moments? Could that be what it means when it compares Christ's return to a thief in the night? When we least suspect it and when we are totally unprepared? I really think so. What if Christ returns while I'm simply watching the news, gossiping with a friend, listening to music that doesn't glorify God, reading that book, daydreaming, could be good or bad, nurturing those thoughts of hatred and envy, walking out of a questionable establishment? What if Christ returns the very day I didn't have time for Bible reading and prayer? Do I really want Jesus to come when I'm stretching the limits of the law or even outright disobeying? So many of those earthly things just don't have any value anymore when we think of them in the light of Christ's return. What did we read in Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41? Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Let's be ready. It could be at any moment. Live life as if Jesus was coming today. I remember listening to older folks talk of Christ coming and the signs of the times. And as a young child, it could be a little bit troubling. And then into my teenage years and the sense of unrest and fear that it brings when a heart is not right with God. It does bring fear and unrest. But children, you don't need to fear. God is in control. He loves you. He will save you and take care of you. He will take care of his people. And for us as adults and some coming into adulthood, does it still strike fear in your heart? Perhaps God is speaking to you to prepare for his coming. He is lingering for you. He wants to save you too. Let God speak. Let him lead you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he is coming again. Let it inspire excitement and fervor, and let's arise and press on for that eventful moment when we will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Luke 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can cling to the promise that you are coming again. Lord, help us to take life seriously and prepare for that moment. We thank you that we don't have to fear, but we can look for that day in excitement and desire to see you. Pray that you would be with each one here this morning. Help us to press on in sincerity and faith. Pray that you bless us this week. Keep us safe, not against your will. May we be a witness to those around us. Pray for those who are unwell. Pray you would heal, not against your will. And bless the singing tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.